Sifa, we learned before. We had already quoted before. That Amr Rabbi Yochanan says, Shlamim sheshchatan v'heichal ksherin. If you take a carbon shlamim and you slaughter it in the building of the Beit HaMikdash, in the heichal, it is kosher. Normally, karbanos are slaughtered outside in the courtyard. You can walk the shlamim into the heichal and slaughter it there. How do we know it's a derivation? Shenamar, because the Torah, when it says about where to slaughter the shlamim, says, v'shachto pesach ha'olmoed, slaughter it at the entrance of the tent of meeting. So the whole reason why it's in this spot, it's because this spot is next to in the entrance of the tent of meeting. So lo yehei tafel chamer min ha'ikar, that which is secondary can't be more than the whole source. If you can slaughter in the courtyard because it's close to the tent of meeting, certainly you can slaughter in the tent of meeting itself. Thank you.
Is that halakha, Rabbi?
Yeah. Really? Yeah, you can slaughter shlamim in the Ohel Moed. Now, Gemara now questions this. Meisvei, challenge you. We learned this sugya back in Zvachim. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira Omer. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira says, Meinayin shemikif over the kochav mesazara. How do we know that if we have Gentile enemies surrounding the temple and they are shooting arrows and missiles and flaming kites and balloons with the fires on them into the temple, that the holy Jews of the temple nichnasim laheichal can run into the building of the temple, v'ochlin b'katshe katshim, and they can eat, let's say, the meat of an asham or the meat of a chatas inside the building of the temple? Ushiyari menachos, they could eat the rest of the dough of a mincha inside the building of the temple. Tamalom, that's, we have a special verse for this. Now starting today's daf, the verse says, Bekodesh HaKadashim Tochlenu, in the holiest of holies you shall eat it. Sounds like you eat sacrifices sometimes in the holy area, in the temple building, not just the temple courtyard. Now, if Rabbi Yochanan is right, v'alama likra, why do I need a verse? Pekodesh HaKadashim Tochlenu, that in terrible circumstances, and we don't have a choice, we can run into the temple and eat sacrificial food in the temple building. Lema, why do I need a verse? Let me just use the same logic. Since the Torah says, b'chatzaro el moed yochlua, you're supposed to eat the leftovers of a mincha, or the meat of a chatas, or the meat of an asham, in the courtyard of the temple. So we should say, v'lo yehei tafel chamer min ha'ikar. How could the secondary be stricter than the source? The whole reason why I can eat it in the courtyard is because it's the courtyard of the temple. So certainly the temple itself. It's the courtyard of the tent of meeting. So certainly I can eat it in the tent of meeting. Must be we don't use such logic. We need to have a verse. Maybe we don't ever use logic to learn laws from laws in Kachin.
What are you saying? I'm sorry. The same Kodesh HaKodeshim, we usually mean
right. So the Svasemes adds, to address Izzy's point, he says, let's say the enemies are shooting into the Heichal. Then you could go even into the Kodesh HaKodeshim to eat. It's pretty amazing.
You know, I'm not even sure why there should be any discussions. People up now, but how many Israel should be able to eat inside, it should be able to touch inside the...
Well, maybe just don't eat it. Don't eat it. Just take those meats and let them spoil the next day and burn them.
But I'm saying, if it's pituach nefesh, even a tamei Israel should be able to go and go out.
Well, but maybe go in, but why eat? Maybe we're talking about there could be ruining the carbonos once it's in the wrong spot.
If there's a siege
and they're shooting, but
and there's a chance you could starve to death.
I don't know. You can starve. Maybe you have other food. Remember, the Gemara said in Gittin that when there was the siege of Jerusalem, they had food for 20 years until the lunatics burned it all down. So maybe there was food. So again, the point is, Rabbi Yochanan says that if you can slaughter at the entrance of the temple, certainly you can slaughter in the temple building itself. So the Gemara challenges that. How could Rabbi Yochanan say that? Through that logic he derives that you can certainly slaughter in the temple building itself. We have a special verse permitting eating karbanos in the temple building. What do we need a special verse for? Use the same logic. If you can eat because it's the courtyard next to the temple, you should certainly be able to eat in the temple itself. So the Gemara says, no, there's a difference between service, like slaughtering, and eating. Says the Gemara, Avodah, when we talk about service, namely doing the act of slaughter in the courtyard or the act of slaughter in the temple building in the Heichal, it's understandable that when you're in the home of your master, you're in the palace of the king, you should be doing service. That makes sense. That's our job there. When we're in the palace, so we are doing service. We're serving the king. So then Amrina, then we say, if I can slaughter outside the temple building, because it's next to the temple building and it's part of the temple building, certainly I can slaughter in the temple building. But achila, but eating is different. Eating, it's actually disrespectful to eat in the temple building. The temple building is the place of our master, of the king. I'm going to be sitting and eating in front of my master. I should be working for my master, not eating in front of my master. So then there is no logic to say, well, if I can eat in Chatzar Ohel Moed, I can certainly eat in Ohel Moed. No, I could eat in Chatzar Ohel Moed because it's not as much the place of our master as the Ohel Moed. But in the Ohel Moed, I should not be able to eat. That's Ohel Moed. That's not a place where I should be able to eat. That's why I need a special verse. Bakodesh HaKadoshim Tochlenu. In the holiest of holies, eat it. The verse is explicitly saying I'm allowed to eat. That's why, time of the Kasav Kra, I needed the verse to be written to tell me I could eat in the temple. Holo Kasav Kra. But if I wouldn't have the verse, then not. So Holo Kasav Kra. But if the verse wouldn't have said it, Lo Yetafel Chavim Min HaIkar, Lo Amrinan. We wouldn't have been able to say here, let the secondary can't be more strict than that which is primary. Okay. That completed that discussion, and now we move on to another discussion. I pointed out earlier all these wonderful diagrams to give us a little sense of the order of the service of the mincha. Again, the order of the service of the mincha is that our donor brings flour, oil, and spices up to the Beit HaMikdash. Then in the Beit HaMikdash, he, the donor, the Yisrael, mixes, he puts the flour into a holy vessel, he puts the oil into a holy vessel, he puts the spices into a holy vessel, thereby consecrating them. Then he mixes them all together in the bowl. And when it's all mixed together with the spices on top, he then hands it over to the Kohen, and then the Kohen's going to take over. The Kohen's going to do Hagasha, present it to the altar, do Kmitza, take a fistful, drop that Kometz into a holy vessel, walk that holy vessel with the Kometz over to the Mizbeach, salt it, and throw it into the fire. So now, says the Gemara the following issue. Itmar, we had an argument of the Amoraim. What about Blala Chutz L'chomas HaZara? Let's say our donor brings the flour and oil in, puts the flour into a holy vessel, the oil into a holy vessel, the spice into a holy vessel. Then he puts a little bit of oil into the bowl, and he puts a lot of all the flour in the bowl, and he puts a lot of oil into the bowl, and he mixes it all up, and he's going to add some more oil. But before he does that, he walks out. He walks out of the temple, out of the Azara, and out of the courtyard, he does the actual mixing. What happens if he does the mixing of the flour and oil outside of the temple, even though he brought it into the temple first? So now what happens? Does it become disqualified? The Kohen hasn't yet touched it. The Kohen hasn't done Kmitza, he hasn't done Agasha. Does it get disqualified because it had come in and now out? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Psula, Rabbi Yochanan says it's disqualified. Rish Lakish Amar Ksheira, Rish Lakish says it's kosher. Rish Lakish Amar Ksheira, Rish Lakish says it's kosher. Because it says, V'yatzak Alea Shemen, after he mixes it, then he puts on the last pit of oil, and then V'nasan Alea Levona, and then he puts on the spices. V'hadar, and after that, V'evil B'nei Aaron HaKohanim, he brings it to the Kohanim. the kamatz, and then the kohen takes over by taking a fistful out of the dough. So that's telling you, mitzvah mitzvah kahuna. You only need kahuna, kohanim, once they take the fistful. Before that, the mixing and even the putting into a holy vessel can only be done by a non-kohen. So if all of that can be done by a non-kohen, v'limid al yitzika, the pouring of the oil on top, u'belila, and the mixing, the kneading of the dough, shekshirin bizar, that can all be done by a non-kohen. So if that can be done by a non-kohen, midakuna lo baya, if you don't need a kohen, p'nim nami lo baya, it doesn't have to be in the Beis HaMikdash either. It could be done out of the Beis HaMikdash, the mixing of the dough.
But we cannot go, when we do shechita,
yeah,
even though the Israel...
That's true, right?
It puts micha in the azara.
Right, the shechita has to be in the Beis HaMikdash, you can't go outside. That's so, true, so that's good.
We learned yesterday, though, I think that you can't make certain... comparisons between a blood offering and a mincha offering,
right.
Maybe that'll be one of those as well.
Also a good point.
Is that just for that day, Rabbi? If the time overlapses overnight, it's done?
The mincha has to be all done by day.
Yeah, I'm saying if he stays outside overnight...
Yeah, then it's certainly no good. So according to Reish Lakish, the same way you don't need a kohen for the mixing, you don't need a Beis HaMikdash for the mixing. Rabbi Yochanan, I'm absolute. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Kevin Asiyasa Biklihu. The mixing is happening in a holy vessel. It's consecrated. So Nehid the Kuna Lobaya. Okay, so you don't need a coin to do it. But Pnimi Abaya, it has to be done inside the Beit HaMikdash, in the Azara, like Izzy said, like the Shechita. Tani Kavasid Rabbi Yochanan, we have a Braisa like Rabbi Yochanan. Blala Zark Shera. A non coin can mix the flour and the oil. But michutz l'choma sa'azara psula. But if he does it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, that disqualified it. Okay, that completes that discussion. Next discussion. Itmar, we had another argument of Amoraim. Mincha. So again, let's say the person brings in his flour, his oil, his spices. He puts them into holy vessels, consecrates them. Then he puts them into the big bowl. First the oil, then the flour, then more oil. He mixes it all together, he puts the oil on top, he puts the spices on top, hands it over to the Kohen, and then Shechasra, a big wind comes, and some of it flies away. Now some of it is missing. Kodem Kmitza, before the Kohen can take a fistful out. So Rabbi Yochanan says, okay, the Kohen hasn't yet taken a fistful out, so Yavam Mitoch Beisavi Malena, bring some more flour. You, Yisrael, run back home, bring some more flour, fill it up, make sure you get to the right amount, and now keep on going.
So the mixing happened, and then somehow it becomes lacking.
Correct.
And so are they telling him to take this vessel outside?
No.
So he can fill it, or just go home?
He goes home.
More flour.
He brings more flour.
So he's leaving the vessel by itself unattended.
Correct.
In the
Azara.
In the Azara.
That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Go home and fill it back up. Reish Lakish says you can't do that. You can't go home and fill it up. It's already no good. Rabbi Yochanan says go back home, bring some more flour and fill it in. Because Kmitza Kavala. Only once the Kohen takes the fistful, then it's called Mincha. Before that, it's not yet called Mincha. So once it's called Mincha, you can't have anything missing from it. But before it was called Mincha, you can have something missing and fill it in. Reish Lakish Amar, no, lo yavi mitoch beis avi malena. Even though the Kohen hasn't taken the fistful yet, you can't go from home and go back home and bring flour and fill it up again. Because Kedushas Kli Kavala. It's not the Kohen taking a fistful that makes it called a Mincha. Once it's in a holy vessel, it's called Mincha. So once it's called Mincha, it can't be having anything missing from it. Eis v'Rabbi Yochanan Reb Shimon Ben Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan asked against Reish Lakish. We learned about the oil of a mitzorah, the lobe, the six eggs worth of oil that of part of the purification of a mitzorah. Chaser halog. If that oil suddenly goes missing, if the Kohen hasn't yet poured out from the oil onto the left hand, we can fill it up. It's in a holy vessel. Apparently, even though it's in a holy vessel, it doesn't yet get called lobe because it's in a holy vessel. It can't have anything missing. So Gemara says, to Yufta, we have disproven Reish Lakish. He's wrong. So if the mincha is in a vessel, but no fistful has been taken from it, and some of it goes missing, it's not yet called mincha. It's called holy, but it's not yet ha-mincha, the mincha. It can be filled in. That's the conclusion.
Well, I guess it's holy enough to still be asur if it goes out, like you said in the garden, right?
Correct, because we do pass nigel b'yochan. Once it goes out, it's disqualified, but it doesn't have the shame mincha. It's not called mincha. Then when the Torah says min ha-mincha, from the mincha, from the entirety of the mincha, not from a mincha that's missing, it didn't exclude this.
It's easy to make a distinction between those two cases, though, just from a practical standpoint. If you have oil in a vessel, right, if you're adding oil, it's oil and oil, it's the same thing. But if you've already done mixing of oil and flour together in this vessel, and it's already created somewhat of a dough, and then you're bringing in additional flour, you can see that there's a practical difference between doesn't mix as well. So you can see why it may not be such a conclusive reference.
That's true, but I actually think that the core of a karban mincha is just the flour, because we saw earlier the Gemara said that Rabbi Shimon says, logically, we would say that a sinner should bring oil and spices together with his flour, but we don't want a sinner to adorn his offering. So what do you mean, adorn the offering? That is the offering. So it sounds like, no, the offering is the flour. The oil and the spices are adornments. They make it nicer. So the sinner shouldn't be adorning his offering. But I think that the core of the mincha is actually just the flour, just that basic item. Okay, next discussion. Itmar, we had another argument of Amoraim about Menachos. Let's say the Kohen did take the fistful out, so now you have the leftover doughish. Shirayim Shechasru. What happens if that leftovers, now some of them go missing? What happens now? So Bein Kmitza Lahaktara, if they went missing before the fistful is thrown into the fire, as the Kohen is walking with the pan to the Mizbeach, a wind comes and blows away some flour from the bowl that was left. Rabbi Yochanan says, Maktir Kometza Lehen, he still would throw the pan that has the fistful into the fire. Reish Lakish Amar, no, if the Shirayim are missing, a Makdir Kometz Aleihen, he can't throw what he has in the pan into the fire. So now this is similar to another issue that we're going to see soon in regards to Karbanos. Alibud Belezer, according to Belezer, who holds that if what was left over gets destroyed entirely, then you can still bring the fistful, still throw the fistful into the fire. So Kuliyamalo Pligi, if he holds that if the whole thing gets destroyed, you'd still throw the fistful into the fire. And the parallel in a carbon would be a carbon where the blood was caught, and as they're walking the blood to the Mizbeach, some lightning hits the animal of the carbon, the carcass, and the whole carcass is destroyed. So you'd still throw the blood on the Mizbeach. So according to Belezer, who says that even if the whole Shirayim, all the leftover dough is gone, you still throw the fistful into the fire. So then certainly if only a little bit of it is gone, you'd throw the fistful into the fire. Ki pligi, but where is there an argument? Alibud Rabbi Yoshua. According to Rabbi Yoshua, who says that if the whole leftover is gone, you don't throw the fistful. What about if only some of the leftovers are gone? Where do we have this argument between Belezer and Rabbi Yoshua? The following Mishnah. It's not within a Mishnah. Again, the bowl has the flour and oil and spices in it. It was handed to the Kohen. The Kohen presented it to the Mizbeach. The Kohen took out of the bowl a fistful, and then he put the fistful into a holy vessel. He put the spices into the holy vessel, and after that, nitmuushiyareha, the leftover bowl with all the flour and oil becomes tamei, or nisrafushiyareha, or it got burned, or avdushiyareha, it gets lost. So now what do you do? Kemidas Rebbe Lazar, according to the view of Rebbe Lazar, says in regards to a carbon, that even if the meat of the carcass of the carbon is gone, you'd still throw the blood. So to Ksheira, you'd still throw this fistful into the fire, even though there is no shirayim, there's no leftover to become permitted by putting it into the fire. But Kemidas Rabbi Yeshua, according to Rabbi Yeshua, says that in a karban, if you don't have meat, you don't throw the blood. So here too it becomes, psula becomes disqualified. So that's Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Yeshua. Now we'll go back to Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. So man de pasal. The one Rish Lakish who said that if some of the leftovers are lost, now you can't throw the kmitza, you can't throw the fistful into the fire anymore. Rabbi Yeshua, he holds like Rabbi Yeshua that if all of the meat is gone, you can't throw the blood. If all of the shirayim are gone, you can't throw the komets. So if some of the shirayim are gone, you also can't throw the komets. Uman de machshir, whereas Rabbi Yochanan who says that if some of it is gone, you can still throw the komets. He'll tell you like this. Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yeshua hasam. Rabbi Yeshua said in a karban that if all the meat is gone, you don't throw the blood. Or if all of the shirayim are gone, you don't throw the komets. El dulo ishtayir, because there's nothing left. Abel hecha di ishtayir, but in our case where there's something left, only some of it went missing. Afilu Rabbi Yeshua modelay. Even Rabbi Yeshua would agree that you'd still throw, if it was a karban, you throw the blood. And if it's a mincha, you still throw the komets, you throw the fistful into the fire. What's the proof to this? The Tanya we learned in a brisa. Rabbi Yeshua says, let's talk about animals. Kol azvachim shebat Torah, all the sacrifice in the Torah. Shenishtayir mehen kezayis basar. If an olive worth of meat is left of them, o kezayis chelev, or an olive worth of fats are left, because that's what the mizbeach eats. Then zorei kadam. Then you still throw the blood on their behalf. If only kechatzi zayis baser, if only half of an olive worth of meat is left, or kechat, and even if you have with that a half olive worth of fat, the eating of mizbeach does not combine with the eating of people, and eino zorek es hadam, you don't have enough left to be able to throw blood on behalf of that carbon. Uba ola, but in an ola where there's no eating of people that you're combining with the eating of mizbeach, because everything in an ola is eaten by the altar. Afilu, even if after you've slaughtered, there was a bolt of lightning that burned the carcass of the sacrifice, and all you have left of the sacrifice is chatzi zayis basar, half an olive worth of meat, the chatzi zayis chalev, and half an olive worth of fat, zorek es hadam, because you have an olive worth left, you can still throw the blood. Because in an ola, everything is left. Now, if you have a mincha, even if the entirety of the mincha is around, lo yisrok, you don't throw the blood. What do you mean? What are you talking about? Mincha, what do you mean? Throwing blood with a mincha? In a mincha, you have a fistful of dough that gets thrown into the fire. What do you mean throwing the blood? So Rav Papa said, Minchas Nesachim. We're talking about the mincha that comes along with certain karbanos. Certain karbanos are accompanied with a mincha. As we say, you know, we all remember the laning of Chol HaMoed Sukkis. The mincha sayam v'niskehem kimudubar. Shlosho asonim lapar, ushnei asonim la'ayil. Yisaron la'keves kinisko. That with the karban, there is a mincha, there is flour that accompanies the meat. So that's the case. What happens in the following case? A man, the Kohen, slaughters this ola. The ola is supposed to be accompanied with flour. A bolt of lightning comes. Before the blood of the ola could be thrown on the mizbeach, the lightning burned the entire carcass of the animal. But you still have the flour here. So Salkadai Tachamina would have thought to say, Hola Bahadi Zebach Asya, since the flour comes with the animal. The flour is considered the animal. So Kigufa de Zebach Dam, it's as if you have part of the animal here, so you could still throw the blood. Kamashwan, that's what the Tana says. If all you have is the minchan, you don't have any meat left, you don't throw the blood. So 1 second. So this seems to be a big problem with Reish Lakish. Because Reish Lakish said that a mincha, that some of it goes missing. Reish Lakish says you can't throw the komets. So what's his source? His source is Rabbi Yoshua, who says that in a karban, if all of it goes missing, you can't throw the blood. What do you mean? But Rabbi Yoshua himself says that if you have left from the karban a kezayis, you still throw the blood. So in a mincha, if some of it went missing, you have left a kezayis, you should still be throwing the komets. Umanza pasal. So what's Rish Lakish going to do? What's he going to do with this brisa of Rabbi Yochanan? He'll tell you like this. Shiny hacha. Mincha is different than zevach. Mincha is different than animal. To Amar, because the pasuk says, Ve'irim ha-kohen min ha-mincha es askarasa. V'iktira mizbecha, and the kohen is to lift from the mincha, that memorial aspect, and offer it into the fires on the altar. It says, ha-mincha, the mincha, v'iktir, and he offers it. Adi'isa, l'kule mincha. The only way he can offer the komets is if the entirety of the mincha is still around. But if he doesn't have the entirety of the mincha, lo yaktir, and he can't offer this fistful. So what's Rabbi Yochanan going to do with this pasuk? So Gemara says, he'll tell you like this. Mina mincha. You offer the fistful from the mincha. Yes, the mincha means a whole mincha. B'mincha shahaysa kfar. It had been a whole mincha at the time of taking the fistful. But afterwards it could be less than a full mincha. If it was a full mincha at the time of taking the fistful, then you can offer it even afterwards. Some of it went missing. Okay, so again, we have an argument in regards to karbanos. If you lose the karban, do you still go ahead with the blood service? According to the view that if you lose the karban entirely, you wouldn't go ahead with the blood service. Maybe we'll say the same thing with a mincha, that if you lose the rest of the mincha, you don't go ahead with the mincha. Or maybe not. Maybe if you're losing only part of the mincha, maybe you still go ahead with the mincha, because there was a full mincha when you took the fistful from, even though now when you want to burn this fistful, you don't have the full mincha. Nevertheless, you go ahead with the service. So, Eisvei Rabbi Yochanan l'Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan challenged Reish Lakish. We have the following brisa. We learned this on Shabbos, talking about the Lechem Hapanim. The Lechem Hapanim, the bread that was on the table in the Heichal, in the Kodesh, was a Karban Mincha. Those 12 loaves were a Karban Mincha. It's different than all other Karbanos Mincha. There's no komets taken from the bread. What's done is that there are 2 spoons of Lavona, 2 spoons of the spice that's normally on the Mincha, on the table of the Lechem Hapanim. Those spoons are removed from the table on Shabbos when the loaves are exchanged, when one set of loaves are taken off, the other set of loaves are put in. The removal of the spoons is the equivalent of the kemitza. Those spoons of spices get thrown into the fire, that's the haktara, and the shirayim, the leftover of the mincha, is the fact that the lechem apanim, the loaves, are eaten by the kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. Actually, ironically, the Kohen Gadol would get most of the lechem apanim. He would get 3 loaves of the 12. Meanwhile, the entire 2 mishmaros, they have to divide between them the other 9 loaves. So the Kohen Gadol, he would get a lot of lechem apanim. So
that's how
he becomes a Kohen Gadol. He's a big Kohen, right? He's a big Kohen. Okay, so now going back to the issues of the lechem apanim.
Does he use that for lechem mishnah on
Shabbos? No. I think he eats it in the azara.
What about if he doesn't eat all 3?
Does
he really eat it?
He would eat it. It's holy bread. How could you not eat it? All right. Eitzvei Reb Yochanan l'Reish Lakish. So Reb Yochanan, who holds that if you have some of the shirayim go missing, you still go ahead with the haktaras hakomets, the burning of the fistful that's in it, that's in the klishares. Rabbi Yochanan challenged Reish Lakish. We learned about the lechem apanim. Ad shelo pirka, if they haven't yet removed the 12 loaves off the table and replaced them with the new 12 loaves. And so in other words, the old 12 loaves are still on the table. Nifras. And now one of the loaves breaks. Nifras lachma. One of the loaves breaks. And as the Sfasemis explains, when a loaf breaks, some of the crumbs go missing. Says the Brisa, Halechem Pasul. Now this bread is disqualified. Vein makter olives habazichin. And you can't take the spoons off of the table and put the spices in those spoons on into the fire, because this would be a case of a mincha that went missing before kmitza. The spoons and the loaves haven't been removed from the table, so there hasn't been kmitza yet, and something went missing, some of the crumbs of this broken loaf. However, in Mishapirka, they've already removed the 12 loaves, and they've already removed the spoons. And then nifras lachma, then the bread breaks. Halachem pasul, so now this is bread that has a disqualification. It's like the shirayim of a mincha, that some of it goes missing before the fistful gets burned in the fire, but after the fistful was taken off, that dough can't be eaten. However, but the spices can still go into the fire, like the view of Rabbi Yochanan. That's the view of Rabbi Yochanan. That when you had shirayim, some of the shirayim go missing, you still go ahead with the haktara, you still go ahead with the offering of the komets, of the fistful. Now, here it's not a fistful, here it's the spices, but they take the place of the fistful. So it seems that Rish Lakish is wrong. And even further, you know, just as an aside, Amar Rabbi Elazar said, Lo pirka mamish. Here we're not talking about where literally the spoons and the loaves were taken off of the shulchan. Even once it's the time to take the spoons and loaves off, even though he hasn't taken it off, it's already considered as if it was taken off, and therefore, since it was already as if it was taken off, it's as if the kmitza was already done before the bread broke, before we lost something, and therefore it would still go into the fire. So this seems to be a total disproof of Reish Lakish. Because again, Reish Lakish says that if a fistful is taken out of a mincha, then before the fistful could go into the fire, some of the leftovers go missing, it gets all disqualified, you can't put that fistful into the fire. And here we see that if it's after the time of taking the spoons off, in other words, we consider that the spoons have been taken off, we've considered that the fistful has been taken out, if some of it goes missing, it doesn't matter, we still put those spoons into the fire.
Right, and that's no issue that you pour in the spoons. I guess it's not the same time period. You can still pour the spoons at a later point. That's not like lina.
No, it's the done on Shabbos.
Even though the bread has to be removed by that time, so they're disqualified, but the spoonfuls are still.
The bread's not disqualified.
Well, I thought we said it's as if it's
removed.
No. If the bread breaks and some of the crumbs get lost.
Right, but then he says at the end here, he says, but even if it doesn't actually break. But even if it just hits the time period.
The spoons weren't taken off.
Right.
The bread and the spoons weren't taken off the table. It's the time when they should be taken off. It's already considered as if they were taken off. Once the time arrived, it's as if they were taken off. It's as if the kmitza was done.
And that's not the final time period. That's not the final time period you have to throw the spice into the fire.
Yeah, it's going to go and throw it in.
That's just some time during Shabbos?
12 o'clock.
Are all of the breads
swinging the fire on Shabbat?
It's the avodah of Shabbos. It's the service of Shabbos. It's the mitzvah of Shabbos to do it.
Are all the breads disqualified by the breaking of the one bread, since that makes the whole thing lacking?
Yes.
So then there is no leftovers.
That's right. Oh, and halachically.
Halachically, there's no leftovers.
You can't eat it, but it's still physically there. So now, Amar Leh, so Reish Lakish tries to answer, Hamani, who's that, Brisa? Rebbe Lezer, that Bryce is the view of Rebbe Lezer, who holds that even if the entirety of a carcass of a carbon is lost, or if the entirety of the shirayim are lost, you still offer the komets. And I'm Rebbe Yeshua. Amar Leis, Rebbe Yochanan said back, Ana mina locha mishna shlema. I quoted to you a perfect Tanaitic source, a Bryce without any particular author to it. Amartali at Rebbe Lezer, you're telling me it's only Rebbe Lezer. And furthermore, if it's Rebbe Lezer, my ear ya nifras. Why only talk about a loaf that breaks? Afilu sarufa avud nami machsher. Even if the entire array of loaves would get burned by a bolt of lightning, or it all go missing, it would also be okay. So say that. Ishtik. So Reish Lakish was quiet. Ask the Gemara, Amai Shasat, why is Reish Lakish quiet? Leimale, why doesn't he tell back to Reb Yochanan? What are you challenging me from, Lechem Apanim? Tzibur Shaini! Lechem Apanim is a mincha. But who's donating the mincha of the Lechem Apanim? The nation. It's a carbon of the whole nation. It's not a carbon of an individual. Karbanos of the nation are different. Hoel v'ishtri tumu l'gabayu. We know if you have the carbon of a nation, let's say carbon Pesach, and everybody's tameh, you still bring the carbon Pesach. Tumu hutcha b'tzibur. The karbanos of the nation are different. So then, ishtri nami chaseros, the offering of the bazichei levona, the throwing of the spoons with the spices of levona into the fire on Shabbos. That's a carbon of the nation. It's the mincha of the nation. Like the mincha sa'omer. It's the mincha of the nation. If it's something of the nation, therefore it can be brought even though something's missing. That's different. Amar Avada Bar Ahava. Avada Bar Ahava said, Rish Lakish didn't give that answer. So Samaris, this tells you, chisaron, if you have, according to Rish Lakish, if some of the shirayim, the leftovers of the mincha are missing, kebal mum dami, that's like an animal with a blemish. Even though the carbon of the nation is brought despite tumah, it wouldn't enable you to bring a balmum. Now, so you have to give a different answer. This is the view of Rabbi Lezer. Yasser Rav Papa v'kamala shmaita. Rav Papa was sitting and telling over this whole story, this whole lesson. Amar le Rav Yosef bar Shmaya le Rav Papa. Rav Yosef bar Shmaya said to Rav Papa another thing. Milo askina de Rav Yochanan ve'Rish Lakish. You know why Rish Lakish didn't say here it's a communal carbon and that's why it could be brought even though some was missing? Because Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, when they argue whether you can still offer the komets when some of the leftovers goes missing, who says they're only talking about a mincha of an individual? They could be talking about mincha sa'omer. They could be talking about the mincha brought on the second day of Pesach, the tzibruhu, which is a communal carbon. Upligi, and even there is the same argument. Okay. So far, Rabbi Yochanan seems to be winning the argument. So Amar Rav Malkio. Now Rav Malkio came with a challenge against Rabbi Yochanan. Tanakh, that we learned in one braisa, the verse says, V'kamatz misham, lo kumtso, misalto, mishamna, misalta, from its flower, shim chasra kolshu, psula. If the flower is not the full amount, it's not an isaron, it's not the 43 and a fifth eggs, it's pasul. Umishamnan, from its oil, shim chasra kolshu, if the log is not a full log, it's not six eggs of oil, it's pasul. But we have a second braisa. The verse says, "Vano seres ben amincha la'aron levan of the leftover of the mincha goes to Aaron and his sons. Hamincha prat lemincha shechasri, to exclude a mincha that goes missing. Shechasar kumtza, if some of her fistful is missing, or shelo hiktim levonasa klum, or if he didn't offer the spices, the mincha is pasul. So trei kroy bechaseros lamali. Why do we need to have two psukim to exclude a mincha that has something missing? Lav, isn't it for the following? Echad lemincha shechasra kodem kmitza. One is to say that if the mincha is missing something before the fistful was taken, it gets disqualified. And echad, and the other is l'shirayim shechasra ben kmitza la'aktara, that if from the leftovers they go missing after the fistful was taken, before it was burned in the fire, that it also gets disqualified, and you can't burn it into the fire anymore because something is missing. And so you have to do Rabbi Yochanan mitzarvayu. Let's disprove both of Rabbi Yochanan's halachos that he taught us on today's daf. So Gemara says, lo, that's not how Rabbi Yochanan reads those psukim. Echad, one verse is to say, lemincha shechasra kodem kmitza. If a mincha is missing before the fistful, you can't take the fistful, but you can replace it. If you bring flour from home and fill it in, it's now going to be okay. The low, but if you don't fill it in, low, it's not okay. The chad in the second pasuk is l'shirayim shechasru ben kmitza lahaktara. Is yes, the case of where the leftovers, some of it goes missing between the fistful and the offering into the fire. The afal gav dematir komitz alehin. And of course, you do offer that offering into the fire, just like you would throw blood, even though there'd be problems in the animal, in the carcass. All it's saying is that osin shirayim asurin la'achila, that leftover, since some of it went missing, you can't eat it. The Ibarlu, because they had a question in the yeshiva, the divri, according to Rabbi Yochanan, ha'omer, who says, shirayim shechasru ben kmitza la'aktara, that if from the leftover some goes missing, Makter komet saleh, and you could still offer the fistful. Oh, since shirayim mayim ba'achila, what about those leftovers from that bowl where some of it's missing? Can you still eat it? Amar ziri, ziri said, Amar ka, the pasuk says, v'ano seres min ha-mincha la'aron u'levanav, the leftovers of the mincha are for Aaron and his sons. V'lo ano seres min ano seres, not the leftovers of the leftovers. Rabbi Yanai says, since it says ha-mincha, since mincha shahay sakvar, since it had been a mincha, it's going to be okay. But that's where Rabbi Yochanan agrees, that since you know, some of it went missing, you can't eat from it. But the fistful that was already in the kli shareis, that keeps going and gets thrown into the fire. All right, the Mishnah said, kamatz b'smol, if a kohen takes a fistful out of the mincha with his left hand, it's no good. You know what I mean? How do we know that the service of the mincha can't be done with the left hand? Amar Reb Zera said, Amar Karkas, the pasuk says about the service of Aaron on the eighth day of the Miluim, and he brought the mincha, and he filled his palm with it. In other words, he took the fistful. So what palm was it? The right or the left? Kishomer, since it says in regards to the purification of a mitzorah, the coin's going to take from the log of oil, and he'll pour it on the Kohen's palm on the left. So kan smallest, here it's the left. That's to tell you that any other place where it says palm, in oil you mean, it means the right. So one second, maybe I needed to tell me something else, just to tell me that here with the mitzorah, something goes on the left, but not to say that everywhere else it's always the right. So you might as well smala sachrina ksiva. You have another pasuk that says it's on the left with the mitzorah. So this is extra to say that wherever it says kaf, wherever it says palm, it means the right. Vema, so one second, why don't I suggest a miut achar miut elalirabos? That actually the oil of mitzorah could be on the right, since it says left. And then again it says left, whenever you have an exclusion or another exclusion, it's to include the opposite. So Gemara says, well, there's a third time. Smala sachrina ksiv. It says a third time, the left. So Gemara says, so that's to tell you, kan smalas, here it's the left, vein achar smalas, but nothing else is the left. Where it says kaf, it doesn't mean the left. Vein adrab, why don't I say the opposite? Ma kan smalas, just like here it's the left, af ba'alma smalas. So elsewhere where it says kaf, palm, it means the left. Actually, arba smalas ksivi. It says four times the word left. Trei ba'ani, two with a poor person, trei ba'ashir, and two with a rich person. If the Torah wanted to teach me that all over the word kaf means the left, it would have only said the word left three times here.